Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Johnny Harris joining us right now here on the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. Johnny, hey, what's happening?
Last year it was infrequent.
Yes.
It did not go well for good old Brunonia last year at all. So hopefully this year will be a little bit better.
Yeah.
But last year was ugly.
Yeah. Johnny, I don't know if you had a chance to eavesdrop on our previous segment. We had a couple minutes left after mm-hmm. giving away some soccer tickets, and I pulled up some odds that our friend Jimmy Shapiro sent to us. And did you hear these odds that we were going through on passing yards and passing touchdowns and things like that?
I could hear a little bit about the passing yards, the players that were listed ahead of Deshaun. You know what's interesting about that? That I guarantee you that's based on the fact that, and if you look at it last year, I think the Tennessee game was a pretty good example of that. Tennessee game last year, he counted for five touchdowns. Maybe it was six. I know he ran for one, but he threw two to Hop, two to Fuller. So I had four. So he counted for five, but he had four touchdowns. Well, then he threw for like 203 yards or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can see them trying to extrapolate something from there. But then again, against Seattle last year, at that time when Seattle had all its dudes, he went for over 400 yards against them. So, I don't know. Ryan Tannehill is going to have more yards than Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, Case Keenum, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, who hasn't, he started one game, and it was a throwaway game at the end of the year. Yeah. I'm not going to get too worked up about it, but the one thing I wanted to ask you about what we were going through was Deshaun being the odds-on favorite to lead the league in interceptions thrown. Is that a fair assessment?
This is going to sound weird, but I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility, to be honest. I think if you think back to his last year at Clemson, that junior year, so 2016, he threw, I believe it was 17 interceptions. So that was in 15 games. Mm-hmm. Then he threw seven in 6.5 games. So you're talking about a guy that could, essentially an interception a game. You're talking about 16 interceptions in a season. And Deshaun is definitely not one to always take the check down when it's there. I mean, he's not scared about throwing a ball down the field. The difference is he's throwing, I think Brock threw 16 interceptions in 2016, but he threw 15 touchdowns. Well, Deshaun in 6.5 games threw 19. And I had a conversation with a good buddy of ours that all of us know, and we were talking about it. And one of the things that he mentioned, and I think this is probably true, he said, with Deshaun, you might just have to live with an interception here or there. I mean, I just mentioned that Seattle game. And one of the things we tend to forget about that Seattle game was he threw a pick six to Earl Thomas in that game. And yet nobody would even really kind of bat an eye at it. Like, hey, you're going to get this performance against Seattle every single week in the 2018 season. Every single week, which would include a pick six going the other way. You take it or leave it. Every single fan in Houston would say, I'll take that.
Of course.
So I could see it happening. I really could. I do think he's going to improve. The game's going to slow down a little bit for him, and when that happens, it's going to be scary. But I could see it, but I'll live with it because he might throw 16 interceptions, but he could also throw 40 to 42 touchdowns as well.
Hey, John, I think it's time for us to start kind of dreaming and thinking about the possibilities about what this pass rush could do. And we talked earlier in the show about where the protections are ranked according to Pro Football Focus as far as defensive lines or pass rush.
Yeah,
pass rushes in the NFL, and they have them ranked fifth. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the Rams and the Eagles have dominant pass rushes.
Yep.
But if J.J. Watt, Whitney, and J.D. Clowney can stay healthy, I mean, we know what these guys can do. It's just they haven't been on the field long enough together to kind of see the full impact. Just your thoughts on those three guys leading the charge on a pass rush.
Well, I did this math one day thinking about Watt, Clowney, and Andrew Luck. Watt, Clowney, and Andrew Luck have never played all in the same game.
Hmm.
Because in 14, the two Colts games, Clowney was hurt. In 2015, I take it back. In one game, Clowney played in that one. I know what it was. It was Clowney, Merciless, and Watt. All three of them together have never played against Andrew Luck. Because when they all were healthy, Luck wasn't. And at some point, Watt, Merciless, and Clowney have all been unhealthy. And, of course, Luck has been out in 15 and 17. So they've never matched up. And it's like, I sort of want to see what happens when it does. I sort of want to see Andrew Luck against those three guys. You know, you bring up the Rams and the Eagles. Now, the Rams, it's, you know, it's Sue and Donald. They come at you in a different way. The Eagles just throw waves of guys at you now. I mean, with last year, it was Long. It was Brandon Graham. Then they drafted Derek Barnett. And, of course, then you had to try and block Fletcher Cox on the inside. They could throw waves of guys at you. Whereas with the Texans, they can do that. But you know it's all about those three guys. And Romeo Crennel is going to do everything possible to scheme up and get those three guys free. I think a complete X factor in a pass rush this year, and this is going to sound really, really weird, is Tyrann Mathieu. I think Tyrann Mathieu, as he walks in this building, and it's funny today because I was, long story short, but I ended up pulling up on YouTube the 2011 LSU West Virginia game. Don't ask why. It just it happens in my world. It just happens. But on, I think it was about the fourth or fifth play of the game, there he is coming off the edge, off the right side. And there's actually a double team on him. On Tyrann Mathieu, and it got me thinking again about what he brings to the pass rush. As crazy as that sounds, if you're rushing those three guys, and then, oh, by the way, here comes 32, well, what are you going to do? I mean, yeah, you can block him with a back, but I saw him against the Jacksonville Jaguars beat Mercedes Lewis one-on-one to get to the quarterback. So you throw Mathieu in there as a rusher, and he becomes really intrigued. Now, I know we've talked about him playing safety and all that. But they're going to allow Tyrann to do what Tyrann does. Don't get me wrong. They're going to allow him to do what he does, and he rushes the quarterback pretty well. You also mentioned a few names. They talked about Joel Heath. When Joel Heath is right and he is healthy, he's really tough to block. But with Heath and Covington and then Reeder, those three guys, and Angelo Blackson is a guy that was really kind of a surprise last year. And he doesn't give you a ton, but just the depth that you have with those guys inside. And let's not forget Brandon Dunn. Brandon Dunn had his best year last year, especially playing the run, and he and Reeder in there together were very good at times, but they're just not going to give you a ton of pass rush. So that's got to come from those three guys, and if they get it and they get those guys healthy, there's no telling what they're going to be able to do when you throw in some of the additions in the secondary for sure.
We're chatting, of course, with John Harris from Texans Radio. John, I've become sort of fascinated with something you mentioned on Texans Radio a couple of weeks ago, and I'll just say it up front. It has nothing to do with football.
Okay.
You mentioned a podcast called Crime Town.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
I think you know how obsessed at least two of us, if not all three of us, are with mob stories and real-life mob stories. And then you dropped the name Buddy Cianci, and I think you had a conversation with Bill O'Brien about this as well. The late former mayor of Providence, Rhode Island, who had a couple of convictions on his record, including for racketeering, and also he was a mobbed up real life mayor of Providence, Rhode Island. I think you mentioned that you would see him from time to time in Providence, even at some Brown football events. How has there not been a movie made about the life of this guy? I read after you dropped his name that he refused to be a rat in one of his trials and took a few months in jail as opposed to giving naming names. I mean, this has got a really good mob movie written all over it.
I know, and it's funny, Rich. I didn't realize how mobbed up Providence was. Even while I was at school. And I didn't really realize, I knew the Northeast was, I knew Boston was to a degree, because I had a friend of mine that was doing a photography project, and she went to the north end of Boston and started snapping some pictures, and somebody grabbed her hand and kind of pushed it down and looked at her and said, they don't want their pictures taken. And I was like, oh, okay. So I knew it was mobbed up, but I didn't know Providence was as mobbed up as it was, but Buddy Cianci was the mayor. So Buddy Cianci takes over as the mayor in Providence from 75 to 84. And he has to leave office in 84 because an attorney friend of his was having an affair with his estranged wife. Meanwhile, Buddy had a bunch of gumars on the side, and all of a sudden, but he's mad about this guy. So he calls him over to his house. He essentially kidnaps him, won't let him leave. He beats the you-know-what out of him. He burns his eyeball with a cigarette. It's the mayor of Providence. The attorney takes it to the cops. He has to leave office. And 7 years later, he's voted back into the mayorship in Providence.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
It's unreal. And he was working so many scams and bribes. And, I mean, this podcast, Crime Town, it's outstanding, which leads me to the next season of Crime Town, which is the RFK tapes.
Ooh.
And I've just gotten into this podcast. And everybody knows that the Bobby Kennedy assassination was cut and dry. It was Sirhan Sirhan. It was right there at the Ambassador Hotel. It was right in the kitchen. I mean, it was right there for the world to see. It was Sirhan Sirhan. Or was it? And this is one of the best conspiracy theories I've ever seen.
I love it.
But Crime Town's great. And two Brown students did a musical of Buddy Cianci. And every time I think about Buddy Cianci, I think about our mayor, Sylvester Turner. And I think about him doing these things, and I'm like, there's no chance. Like, this could never happen. But they did a musical of Buddy Cianci, all the infamous moments. Well, they had been under the assumption that Buddy Cianci's wife's name was Nancy Ann. So her name was Nancy Ann Cianci. And they wrote a musical with this song. And it's absolutely awesome. And yes, Ted, your favorite place, the Foxy Lady, does get mentioned
nice.
In Crime Town. So that's, I mean, it's, and Sean, I thought about you because I'm listening to it, and there's an episode called The Doctor Broad. That's what it's called because the doctor for the head of the Casa Nostra is Raymond Patriarca. And so he had a female doctor. And they all called her the Dr. Broad.
Dr.
That's
Broad.
What they called her. And I couldn't help but think about Tony Soprano.
Dr. Melfi.
Obviously. Yes, exactly. Couldn't help but
great.
Think about that. And it's great because she falls in love with a mobster and it has to their love has to go under. It's just, it's fantastic.
Wow. The guy's last name
I'm riveted, man.
The guy's last name is Cianci?
Yeah,
oh,
the mayor,
God.
Buddy,
see,
Buddy Cianci.
And someone needs to write a treatment.
Bill, yeah, as soon as I said that to Bill about the Crime Town, he goes, I've had a beer with Buddy Cianci over at Oliver's. It's like, almost everybody did.
Yeah.
That's where he would end up. It was the only bar we had on campus, and it was like you'd walk in like, hey, Buddy's here. Everybody knew what that meant.
Man.
Like, Buddy was over there. And I'm glad I didn't go over there often because
yes.
some of the characters that – and some of the things that were going on at that time while I was at Brown that I had no idea about, oh, my gosh.
Man, when I was little and we lived in Philadelphia, we had some Cianci's that lived down the street. And the
Were
son,
they mobbed up?
No, I don't know. I in retrospect, I'm real quick. David Cianci was my age. I was in like first or second grade at the time. I pegged him in the forehead with a rock, and he needed to get stitches in his forehead. Like his dad brought him over to my house
to show my dad what I did.
Oh. Yeah, like his big bandage wrapped around his head. I don't think they were mobbed up because my dad and I both still exist.
Yeah, neither one of you had broken legs a week later.
Right.
Oh, yeah, if that would have been Buddy.
Yeah, no.
You would have had cigarette burns,
Cigarette burns in the eyes.
God.
Hey, Johnny, appreciate it as always, and we'll catch up. Ooh, I'm trying to think. Will we catch up with you next week? Is next Wednesday your travel day to West Virginia?
Yeah, you know, I'll be in West Virginia, so I'll probably just do a phoner.
Okay.
But we're gonna be live at the field next week
yeah.
for our live show. But I think at that time in the afternoon, we may not be there, but
yeah.
I'll definitely do a phoner from there for sure.
Okay, cool. Sounds good, Johnny.
Thanks,
have a good show tonight, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, boys, take care. Thanks
all right,
for
there it is,
stuff,
Johnny though. Harris. Great stuff as always. Mixing it. It's July. You mix in a little mob talk and
exactly.
Johnny Harris hit. Absolutely.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.